start up here with a little introduction. We'll get going. I'm Joel Tickner. I'm the director of the Chemicals Policy and Science Initiative at UMass Lowell. I want to welcome you on this quarter's...
Barbara Boker.
I want to welcome you on this quarter's GC3 webinar, which is going to be talking about driving innovation for green chemistry through software-based systems. We have with us today presenting Kieran Callahan, Tom Carter, and Ned Matarazzo from The Works, which is one of the several companies that are developing solution systems to support companies in advancing green chemistry and safer products that are active in the Green Chemistry and Commerce Council. So our hope here with this call is to really look at how software and IT systems can help advance not only better compliance, which is what these systems have traditionally been used for, but to advance also supply chain data flows, rapid chemical assessment, and support an ability of downstream users, and particularly retailers who may not have access to extensive toxicological information resources, make more informed and efficient decisions about chemicals used in the products they're selling or manufacturing. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kieran, who's going to start off the presentation. As always, please mute your phones, and we'll leave questions and discussion to the end of the presentation. So Kieran, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Joel. I appreciate the introduction. We're excited to be here today and talking a little bit about technology and how it's impacting green chemistry. As an overview today, really this talk focus around more around automation than scoring models or scoring methodologies. And as a high-level overview, we want to cover really these bullet points: what is driving green chemistry? And because this is a rather smart group of people that get green chemistry, we're not going to spend 30 slides telling you about the drivers, but we will recap the kind of drivers. We want to talk, actually show you the actual GreenWorks software tool. So we're going to take a little bit of a dive into the tool itself, and that's everybody a visual for the actual software technology to help connect some dots there. And then a lot of the meat of this will be talking about what some of the organizations that have used GreenWorks and are using GreenWorks today, what drove them to the tool, what are some of the lessons that they've learned, and screen just went blank here. Okay. And really that's it. I mean, as Joel had said to us, really there wants to be a good amount of focus on lessons learned. What I'll also do, I'm going to talk a little bit at the beginning here, and just to frame the discussion, I'm going to ask Ned Matarazzo to actually do and walk through the software, and then we will have follow that by the case studies, and we'll go talk about four really uniquely different companies that are embracing technology to drive green chemistry in four completely different sectors of business. Joel, did you have something?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, as a kind of a recap to drivers in the marketplace, clearly chemicals are impacting human health. Clearly chemicals are impacting the environment. And what we also see is the influence of social media and public perception, topics of BPA, phthalates, other things, how that growing influence of the public perception is then relating to enforcement and legislation and regulation. And as you see regulations come on, companies cannot ignore safer chemistry, because there's risks, And as enforcement, as regulation and legislation comes on, there's a growing trend in enforcement. And you see enforcement not only in the U.S. but around the globe. So there's a lot of benefits to embracing green chemistry. And we're going to talk about how four companies are using green chemistry and embracing it, and it's making a difference financially at their companies. There's also issues with greenwashing. So if you're faking green chemistry, that has real consequences in today's marketplace. And we'll talk about how technology will help companies move away from greenwashing. So you're not making false claims. You're actually making science-based claims using automation tools, regulations, lists, et cetera. What's also, and bullet 9 and 10 really are critical elements to green chemistry, which is the early anticipation of chemicals of concern. Critical that companies today, with the advent of REACH that's come about and other, the GHS and other things, that things that are of concern today will be regulation tomorrow. So not only looking at regulations today, but what's potentially coming down the line. And using software and updated regulatory lists and information around the globe can really help companies get their arms around things that will be concerns for them or could be concerns for them later, thereby not making reactive substitutions but proactive green chemistry, safer alternatives in a kind of a logical, well-planned way. And lastly, kind of how software and automation is critical to driving down the cost in these things, because many of you that are involved in green chemistry know that whether it's looking up lists or trying to evaluate chemicals can be very labor-intensive, and truly software is helping these four companies we'll talk about later with that mission. Went all the way back to the beginning. I think Monica had this. Okay, so what is GreenWorks? GreenWorks is really a highly automated software tool that helps companies determine the greenness of products. It can be an actual chemical ingredient or CAS number level, or it can be formulations. The software tool leverages really transparent and configurable scoring methodologies and models. The tool supports multiple models, so you can be looking at things in a number of different ways, really at the click of a button. And it really, and this is a critical point, it allows businesses to be very proactive in terms of green chemistry, because it gets R&D involved, it gets people visually seeing how products score, how products relate to one another, and potentially what are things of concern in the future and how to design products and work with supply chain to come up with safer alternatives. And our approach, and the GreenWorks approach, which is, you know, this technology being put to use, is really just a transparent, configurable, science-based scoring methodology that can anticipate current regulations but also future regulations, avoiding transition costs, et cetera, and avoiding greenwashing. At this point, I'm going to turn the GreenWorks tool over to Ned Matarazzo. He's going to walk through the actual software.
Thank you very much, Kieran. So before I get going here, showing you the software itself, let's talk about how does it work. Well, GreenWorks evaluates a product or a group of products, and it does that by using formulation data, ingredient data, or we call data at the CAS level. And it does this by bouncing it off of regulatory lists, could be also internal regulations that you've created, and it applies a scoring method against a formulation and selected regulations. The tool, as Kieran was saying before, is infinitely configurable. So the tool has the ability for you to look at products the way you wish to view them, It also has the ability to support scoring methodologies that other people have created. So very quickly, you have the ability to look at a product as it relates to many different ways of, that you wish to look at it, and that becomes very important, and you can do this almost instantly, switching back and forth between scoring, we call scoring models, or simply stated, just a way of looking at a product. So, here's the homepage of our GreenWorks. From here, you can configure a scoring model, score your products, do analytics. Anything that you want to do in the tool comes from the homepage here. So, first you'll enter your formulation data into our tool, and then if you come up to the top and you hit our scoring tab, you will have a product select box which will allow you to look up any product in your database, and you will hit the scoring tab, and it will give you several different results. And I'm going to show you the visual results right now of us, of our scoring models, and then we'll go back and we'll show you how this has really been calculated. But what's really important, I think, is the visual that you get when you look at a product. Here is a look at one of three different choices that we have when we hit our scoring tab. We have a bar graph, a radar graph, and we have a comparison graph. And in this view here, you're looking at a radar graph of a scoring model or a way of looking at a product that has been set up. And it gives you instantly this visual of how our product is relating to our environmental, our health, and our physical hazards data. Here's a way of looking at the bar graph. Same scoring methodology, just a different visual by looking at your product. If you were to arrow down to the bottom of the page as looking at your scoring, then we have a tab here called Scoring Details. In the Scoring Details, it allows us to look at the CAS numbers in our formulations and the particular regulatory lists that they will bounce off of, the percentage in the formulation, and also and how that will relate to our score. So you can do this all the way down for each individual CAS number of your formulation, and it will show you how it will how that relates to its final score. Here's looking at our comparison graph. Our comparison graph will allow us to look at the score of our product. It will allow us to look at the score of our product against the average score of a product in our product group. It will give us the maximum score of a product in our group. So in other words, here's the highest score of any product scored in our group. Here's the product that we're looking at is doing very well compared to the worst product in our group. It's just slightly above the average score of a product in our group. And here is a user-defined scale of where we wish our products to be. So in this case, this product is well within where we want our products to be, is preferable. Again, we don't want our products to be in the avoid, and then here is our acceptable level. And again, this is a user-defined benchmark for a company to be able to communicate where they wish their products to be. Here's an example of a scoring model where companies have used not only list-based data, but what's very important to note is the tool allows a company to put in user-defined data, things that only that will relate to the products for their company. For instance, a cost. Maybe you would wish to incorporate here a water usage. A packaging score. We have one company, when they develop a product, it's very important for them to know, does this use more packaging? Does this use less packaging? Does this use the same amount of packaging as the product that we're using now? Cost and efficacy, very important. Maybe you have a product that costs more, but that doesn't work as well. So these are things that that become very powerful for you in evaluating your product that you can use as your overall product score and your overall sustainability initiatives. here is a way to look at several products all at once by simply adding different products, up to six, in our product select box. We can get a very quick visual on how three products score against each other. Very powerful. Down at the bottom here, you can see which product is which, and you can do this all instantaneously. Here's a way of looking at our three products, again, in our bar graph. Very powerful visual, just a different way of looking at them than the radar graph. And this is, I think, very powerful because you can see quickly how a product scores and also how it relates to its individual parts of its score. We have a tab called Advanced Scoring. Advanced Scoring is a way of looking at products in what we call groups. In this particular case, the user has defined a group here as pesticides. So this is a way that they can take all of their pesticides, get our scoring, and get a very, very nice visual of how our pesticides relate to each other. In this case, you can take a look here at the best scoring is our GW product 3, and the worst product being this GW product. And simply by arrowing or highlighting any one of the blue dots, you'll be able to come over and see how the product is broken down by its category. This is something that the feedback we're getting from companies has been very, they've been so surprised by what they can get from the visual, because what they thought about some of their products and how they related to each other and what they see is very powerful. Here again is a way to look at that chart in what we call a stack view, just a different way of taking a look at our group of pesticides here. And then here's a way of putting in goals. The tool allows us to enter a goal of for up to 3 years. So this could be an example of our 2011 goal, maybe our 2012 goal, and a 2013 goal. And we see that our one product here, GW product 3, actually will meet our 3-year goal. So let's take a look at how a scoring model or a way of looking at our products is set up. And it is important to note that this is not something that you have to set up each time that you score a product. You can do this one time. You can reconfigure it at any time that you wish, but this is not something that you need to do every time you score products. And this is a very simple process, and I think the learning curve on this within a day, anyone in front of a computer can be proficient at setting up scoring models. So I think that potential fear of having to learn something complicated, a new way of doing things, should not be there. So a scoring model, a way of looking at our products. This consists of what we call groups or axes groups. You might want to call them data points. In this particular one, we've got four. We have a health score, we have an environment, we have a pollution, and we call a manual group. And that manual group, in our case here, is a cost. So these four groups are now broken down into what we call categories, which become weighted. Let's look at our health category. Known carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, mutagenic hazards, and suspected carcinogens. Our categories are further broken down into regulatory lists. These are lists that are user-defined, and these lists can be regulatory lists from a subscription-based. They could be internal regulatory lists that can be maintained by yourself. Anything that is a user-defined data will go directly toward the scoring methodology. So a product is scored by taking the CAS number. If it falls into a category, the category is weighted times the percentage of the CAS number, and that will lead to our final score. This is looking at our edit scoring model page, and here's where you would come in and select your categories and assign the weights. But really, the purpose of this slide is to show you that it's very simple to come in and and configure your score and or reconfigure your score at any time, simply selecting your scoring model and changing the data. Here's a way that we go in and select our regulatory lists. All of the regulatory lists will be available for you to select. You would simply check the box next to the list. It will add it to our category. And there's also a search feature here, a search filter. In this case, we have filtered for air pollution. The lists that relate to air pollution will come up. We simply check a box and add them to our category. So, again, the configurability is very easy. It does not take a steep learning curve, and this is something that can be done within a day to learn how to be very proficient in using the tool. This slide, and many of you are familiar with the green screen from the Clean Production Action. The full green screen is something that, of course, will require regulatory data and further evaluation. This, the ability to look at, which we turned into our tool, the green screen, quick screen. The quick screen is the list-based selection where you can evaluate a product against 17 different endpoints that they have created under different categories where they have health effects. And under these 17 different categories, each CAS number, which you see over here on the left, will be assigned a value. They're low, high, very high, or a U being undetermined. Where you see a blank is where there is no known information on these CAS numbers. So if you were to come over here and to look at a CAS number, you can look at the category, for instance, carcinogenicity here. We can come down, we can click on our box, and it will actually open up and give us a particular regulatory list. Here's our CAS number. Here's our category of carcinogenicity. And here are the particular regulatory lists that this particular CAS number falls on. So this is information that you can gather if manually, probably in a few weeks, or by simply clicking a button, we can give you information in 10 seconds. This scoring method is really taking each one of these CAS numbers and bouncing them off of 420 regulatory lists in order to determine the low, medium, high, very high, or undetermined. This is something that is, this automation and this visual is really revolutionized people's ability to evaluate products, because what would take weeks and or months and also something that to do manually is very difficult to be accurate with is now done in a matter of seconds. Here's an example of a PDF. There are a few output documents that we have from the GreenWorks tool. Here's an example of being able to take your table and print a PDF document. We also have a regular PDF document that comes from the GreenWorks tool by simply hitting our product summary document tab. It will allow us to create this PDF, which will look at a formulation, and it will come back and show us our charts that we've looked at before, our radar graph, our comparison graph. It will come down and give us the particular regulatory lists and how they relate to our score. It also has a quick check box next to each category that our formulation may have hit. In this case, we've hit known carcinogens, our score, and it will also allow us to give a benchmark as to where this product stands in our scoring method. We also have the ability, this is a configurable PDF, where we have companies now that are using this as an external document by eliminating CAS numbers and certain things that they can use to market their products as safer and greener. We know of no other, that I know of no other, that people can go out and use something like this in order to take to their companies and to give a quick visual to a potential customer of how their products are scoring. Here we're taking just a look at the bottom of the page. Google also has, under our analytics tab, given us four different reports, and I won't go through all the reports, but it will look at putting in date ranges, giving us totals of scores over history. It will allow us to look at our scores not only by totals, but also by categories, and breaking scores down also by totals and categories in groups. And that will lead us to our case studies, and I'm going to hand it back to Kieran Callahan here, and he is over some of our case studies. And Kieran,
thanks. What I want to do now is talk to you a little bit about and connect the dots between some of the visuals and the software that you've seen and how companies are actually using it. We're going to walk through four case studies, starting with Allergan Pharmaceutical. We'll give you a little bit of background on the companies and then jump into some of their challenges and lessons learned in the discovery process. Allergan is a $4.8 billion pharmaceutical company in the eye care and specialty pharma business. They developed the first antihistamine eye drops. So they make their own APIs. They buy from their supply chain inert or insipid ingredients. And one of the things that they actually came to us by way of our relationship with Walmart. They're a supplier to retail chain supply chain, and they noticed the GreenWorks tool scoring their products in our retail portal application. They contacted us, and what they were really looking to do is find a way to compare and score their own products. They had green chemistry elements going on with the company, and they were really struggling at how to quickly and effectively look at their products side by side in groups to determine which ones were greener, which products had any elements of concern for them. So they purchased the tool, they implemented it, they went through a process whereby they entered all their formulations into the tool, and along the way, they really started to see things. I mean, the folks that we talked to at Allergan said it was eye-opening to them, things that they just frankly didn't know about their products. And it really became useful information for them to go back to really two primary groups within their company, the R&D folks, and talk to them specific about ingredients that were creating higher scores than others. They also were able to go to their marketing department as they got better at developing greener solutions to go out and authoritatively and science-based prove through documented proof that these products were safer. One of the things that Allergan and a key or critical lesson learned was they first started with using really a similar as a Walmart scoring approach. They then started to develop their own, and eventually they developed a very sophisticated scoring approach where they were able to put in all of their inactive ingredients and look at them in groups and individually. And the example they gave us was seeing boric acid, which is used as a and inactive in their product, and they saw that on a sin list. And so they realized that the list of the future, list of concern, really probably someday will be involved in regulation. So they started immediately looking at safer alternatives for that. They were able to go out, work with supply chain, and develop some newer products that alleviated that product. Again, in the pharma world, because you can't really turn on a dime, it's through FDA approvals. They wanted that kind of radar detector approach of knowing what was out there and then how to best communicate within their organization what elements could be changed to make the product safer and to keep having to change out ingredients on the fly. The second case study hang on 1 second. is a company called Gigabase, and Ned has worked extensively with Gigabase. He's just going to run through Gigabase with you.
Sure. Thanks, Kieran. Gigabase is a company that is started by a group of architects that were based in China, and their goal was to promote greener buildings in China and Asia as well. And one of the difficulties there is gathering accurate information as to what type of products are green for building. And in the process of trying to figure out what to do, they had to manually try to take products, break them down into their parts, have people evaluate them, and they were evaluating them against just a couple of regulatory lists in order to rate them and create this database that other people use in order to know what to purchase in Asia. Well, of course, quickly they discovered the time it takes 2 to 3 months in order to evaluate one. And for them, this is a very difficult process. So the solution being a tool like GreenWorks automated, not only were they able to evaluate products much quicker than before, they were also had the ability to not look at 2 to 3 lists, but now they're looking at 420 lists in a matter of seconds. And I would like to read a quote from them, what they said about the tool. And they said, for us, the works offers the solution that both saves time while improving our credibility. Not only are formulations reviewed against more regulatory lists than we thought existed, they are consistently reviewed each time and are supported with simple graphics to communicate results and create leverage for improvement. The icing on the cake, we can reevaluate formulations as often as we want with updated, vetted results just a click away. And that, for them, really speaks volumes as to how automation can save them time and money and really promote greener buildings in Asia. I'll turn it back to Kieran.
The next case study is Halliburton, and again, you're seeing the three completely different types of companies, one in the pharma business, one in oil and gas, and one in building materials, all with different scoring approaches using automation. And I think that's the key to this discussion today is automation's role in driving green chemistry. Halliburton, everybody knows probably who they are, and when we engaged Halliburton, they were an existing customer of ours for some other regulatory and MSDS software products. And they had already developed their own scoring approach to looking at their chemistry and trying to figure out greener solutions to promote their business model of oil and gas. And what was very challenging for them was not only the collecting of the information, but really looking at it, putting it into spreadsheets, trying to look at lists of concerns, authoritative lists, screening lists, and measuring those products in a cost-effective way. When we showed them the GreenWorks tool, they thought that was their concern. How do they get their scoring thinking to our tool? So we sat down and worked with them and configured, without a lot of programming, just simply configuring their scoring thinking, like we did with Clean Production Action, into the tool. And in a short amount of time, had them up and running. Their scoring software actually sat on top of their central database and their formulations. And very quickly, they could group products. They could look at things that, and in a click of a button, that they in the past could not see. One of the things that there were really three key areas that they said in their journey and discovery how the GreenWorks really quickly impacted. One was to provide a tool to look at groups of products, and they were able to immediately identify those products that were the worst offenders in terms of human health and the environment. And they were able to then drill down and see what was causing those products to be looked at in a worse light. And then they identified those and started looking at those elements to drive safer alternatives. So then the focus became, the second goal was focusing on development of new products. As they got new R&D materials in, they were able to put them into the tool and look at which ones, how they looked in terms of their scoring. And then as they reviewed and worked with their supply chain, the R&D team was able to take those elements through testing and put together new products. The outcome really being a new ingredient that was just listed in publications recently, which was a product found in food groups that actually they uses for fracking fluids, et cetera. They also were able to eliminate 20 products that were products of concern for them, and they were able to replace those products with safer alternatives. So that's a little bit of a story about Halliburton and what they were able to do with the GreenWorks tool. The last case study is Walmart. Many of you are familiar with this story through Michelle Harvey talked a little bit about it at the last GC3 meeting. But just as kind of a recap in terms of Walmart, their challenge was really to eliminate PBTs and CMRs. And with a large variety of products, from cleaning products to motor oils to laundry detergents, they really needed a quick, effective way to look at their products more closely and find ways to continuously improve them, make them safer for mother, child, and the environment, while still keeping the cost low and keeping efficacy in mind. And we were engaged with Walmart through a compliance program in a different partnership, and we met with them, talked about GreenWorks tool. That's one of the places where originally were developed GreenWorks has been working with Walmart. Some of the lessons learned is that the tool is very powerful. As they were able to look at 100,000 UPCs, and both looking at them by product groups or individually drilling down, they realized what a powerful piece of software this was, and that they had to really think through, before they went and did anything, how they wanted to internally use the tool. The original thinking was to provide buyers with this as another element of their discussions with supply chain. But they kind of backed off on that, knowing that if it was really important that they utilize the tool properly. They then embarked on more training internally with the supply chain, and one of the elements of GreenWorks was being able to show the suppliers themselves the product score. And by seeing that product score, they realized where they sat in terms of like products in the same product group. Example, laundry detergent. Is my product green on the or greener than the average laundry detergent that Walmart's buying? Is it worse or is it better? And those discussions start to facilitate the supply chain then working up and down the supply chain and creating safer alternatives. Walmart hasn't concluded everything about GreenWorks in terms of full utilization. Ultimately, it's to roll back up into their greater sustainability program. But a key element is being able to have information through automation at their fingertips, help them decide on their journey where they're going with sustainability and product chemistry. This was just a quote by Lee Scott, who was one of the original folks that made the statement about reducing PBTs and CMRs in the products. And in closing and summary, need for greener chemistry is increasing exponentially. I mean, we see that today more than ever. Over the few years that we've been involved with the GC3, we just see this the technology. We see green chemistry being more and more pervasive in a variety of businesses. We see public and government bodies are holding corporations accountable. So in terms of legislation, regulation, that's happening, and there's a need for streamlined, automated approach to evaluating product chemistry. This is where tools and automation, and we've mentioned GreenWorks along the way, but any types of tools and automation that allow companies to more effectively evaluate ingredients, CAS numbers, or product formulations really helps to facilitate green chemistry within their company and within the supply chain. And so, Joel, I'm going to turn it back to you for questions.
Thanks, Kieran, so much. So let's. That was a great overview of the tool and the various capacities of the tool and how it could be used in different circumstances. Why don't we open it up for questions and clarifications, and you can just direct them right to Kieran.
Okay, this is Homer from Johnson & Johnson. Thank you for the presentation. From what I gather, this is some type of automated regulatory review. For me to understand, we have an entire group of regulatory looking at all the regulations around the world. For me to understand the value of this tool, would it be possible to see which authorities you're pulling the information from?
We have... We do our own research, and on every 90 days update regulatory lists. We have about 3,800 regulatory lists. Those are regulations. Those are lists of concern. Those are authoritative lists. And the tool actually will allow you if I didn't mention about Allergan, but they do their own APIs, and they do a lot of testing. They can actually take that test result and put it back in the tool in the form of a list or a regulation or information. So the tool is completely configurable. You'll pull from a list of about 3,800, and those lists are updated every 90 days through our work internally and also through some partnerships that we have.
Other questions?
And just to follow up on that, if you wanted a more specific information on what those are, whatever, we can get with you offline and discuss any of that.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'd be interested.
Kieran, this is Monica Becker.
Hi, Monica.
Hi. First, I want to thank you and Ned for a great presentation. It's really helpful to get into the guts of GreenWorks, and it's clear you've taken this work, the hazard evaluation, miles forward with this system, so hats off to you for doing that. And I actually had two questions. The first one is, do you, since you're knee-deep in this, do you see any limitations to basing the scoring exclusively on regulatory lists? And once you've thought about that, I have another question about how, in practice, the companies that are using GreenWorks are assigning weights to individual toxicity endpoints for purposes of the scoring. I'm trying to get a better feel for what some of the considerations are for weighing one endpoint over another.
In terms of limitations, you know, we've never made the GreenWorks tool out to be the end of the road in how to evaluate products. So there, there'll always be probably some limitation or maybe judgment or data that's not list-based. So in that term, I think we don't hide behind the fact of what it is and what it does, but we do understand that there's probably limitations to that. In terms of the second question, Ned wanted to weigh in on that.
Well, I just also kind of maybe wanted to add, it's not just regulatory lists when you're looking at your scoring. You can, as I said, you have that ability to put in the costs or efficacies and all kinds of other things that might you might use to help determine a score. And I think weightings may change. It's really how I think the power is how you want to look at something, and however you do weight something or one category or another, as you're comparing products, that's what matters. So one product relates to another, as opposed to maybe just, I think, as opposed to just a particular weighting on a category. But I do know that certainly different people will view different categories in a different way. And another thing that's such a nice part of the tool, the configurability, is you can incorporate that into the tool. You can incorporate it the way you want to incorporate it. You can set up multiple scoring methodologies and continue to use that information until you get to an endpoint that you really wish to be at. And then the other thing is there's not a final standard out there. And as standards do become available, and one of them actually being the Clean Production Action Quickstream, this is where that scoring method is based on their benchmarks of low, medium, high, very high. And as another methodology comes out there, we can incorporate that into the tool as well. So at some point, we feel that there will be some real standards out there. And the flexibility of it is what is important, because this piece of software is not something that's going to be old a year from now or out of date or something that's just become a worthless product because now everything has changed the way you scored it. So you don't need IT people to do this. And I hope that does that answer help?
I was just going to add, in terms of the each of the four companies using this, either had their own thinking on how they wanted to score their products or view or look at their products, and they're all using completely different scoring models. And really, the flexibility of the tool and the cost effectiveness of the tool is what was driving green chemistry. In the case of Halliburton, he said, we for 3 or 4 years tried to communicate green chemistry and what we were doing, and people just weren't getting it. When we actually show them the software, they're able to print out information and put it in black and white and in colors and graphs, etc., people started to grasp the concept better. So there is that connecting the dots, and maybe less against the actual authoritative way you score something, I guess. So that's more of the tool than the scoring approach. That's a long answer, I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That's very helpful. Thanks. And also the second question, just about weighing the individual toxicity endpoint. I'm just kind of wondering how people are going about doing that. What is the logic behind that in practice?
I know in say Walmart's case, they had enlisted a group of experts that they brought to the table that determined that for them. And as far as the Clean Production Action, they've also determined that. So I mean, I guess those kind of things are. We're sort of providing the tool to configure, but we don't make any claims as to how you should really go about this. So that would really be up to regulatory experts more than the creator of the tool, which really we are.
Got it. Thank you. That's helpful.
Are there any other questions?
I'll ask one. This is Joel. I mean, where do you see areas of growth or expansion? Are people coming to you with new ideas, and where do you see the tool growing and you know meeting increasing needs, or what do you see the key needs are to in expansion or modification?
It's interesting. We see the tool having not a lot of limits. In other words, a supplier way down the supply chain could be using this. In terms of the, if you look at aerospace, all the supply chain down could use a similar tool like this to help evaluate. So as more standards come in terms of sharing of information and that information being able to be looked at by a tool, we see this as limitless. It could go into supply chain. It could be used by manufacturers, by chemical companies. Specific to Halliburton, they're currently working within their oil and gas industry, so there could be better sharing of information. So people can be looking at things. Their scoring models kind of GHS-centric. But so they really want to see companies expand with technology so information can be shared and people can look at things the same way. And so they can go back down the supply chain looking for safer alternatives, and data then can be moved from them up. So I think there's still a need for standards. There's a need for data sharing standards. But the nice thing about the tool is it's software that can be configured, that can be used by a pharmaceutical company or oil and gas company or somebody in building products or consumer cleaning products. And so I think we have to find a better way of packaging it and offering it as a easy and simple tool to use. And I think where some of the paralysis is how to get the data into the tool. And we think it's XML and other sharing technology platforms that will help the tool get more wide expansion.
Great.
This is Judy from the Center for Environmental Health. Thank you for the presentation. I was wondering how the GreenWorks addresses sort of the whole life cycle. Are companies looking at production issues, use issues, and end of life, or how is the scoring done as it relates to that?
If a company wished to incorporate some end of life data that they had, they could do that in the tool. But we look at it as sort of part of an overall sustainability package. I think that's probably the best way. I mean, we look at hazard endpoints. Really, it's really a hazard based tool, but it will not give you anything as far as end of life that you don't actually enter in yourself.
Okay, and can you also answer, like, how does the GreenWorks address, like you said, sometimes no data is available on chemicals. How do you deal with that in the scoring? And also, is there a way to see what percentage of ingredients a product don't have data?
As far as not having the data, when you were looking at that quick screen, that is the first part of what's called the full green screen, and that's where the formulations would be sent off to toxicologists and further evaluated, and then those endpoints will become filled in as the data becomes available.
The other way you could do that is through analogs or modeling, or but you're without any input or something to measure on. You'd have to either model that to something else, or now the tool will allow you to build your own data. So if you do your own testing and have your own results, and you want to capture that and then bounce it off further formulations or scoring models, you can do that.
Karen, I'm assuming, this is Eve Torrey at the Lowell Center. I'm assuming if there isn't data, that could also be something a company would be able to weight themselves. So if there wasn't data, they could say, okay, no data, and you would allocate a certain percentage weighting to, you know, ingredients without data. Can you do it like that?
Yep. If there's a lack of data or no data, you could assign a value to that. The answer is yes.
Okay. All right.
Any last questions?
Hi, this is Corey Robertson with Hewlett-Packard. So when we talk to our suppliers about the green screen, they often tell us, you know, well, we have our own screening guidelines, our own screening tools and things like that. And so I think that's kind of where the screen works. You know, it's configurable, which is nice, but that means that, you know, each of our suppliers can have their own criteria and, you know, they'll weight, you know, different attributes differently than we would or something. So, you know, it kind of sounds like Walmart is probably the closest example to what we would do. And so they must have set up kind of their own weighting factors, and then they distribute that out, I guess, to their suppliers. Or I kind of wondered how they did that. Or does Walmart actually do the assessments and then send the results to all of their suppliers?
No, the answer is simple in one respect, that the Walmart worked with a team to develop the scoring model, and the scoring model is transparent and communicated. When a supplier uses Walmart to onboard a product, when they're putting a new product into the Walmart shelves, Walmart requires of its chemical containing to go through a compliance portal that we manage. The GreenWorks tool evaluates the chemical components that are put in. So picture yourself having a new supplier or existing supplier. They would have to provide some data to you or a third party, and Walmart uses us as a third party. We capture that and take their scoring model that they developed using the GreenWorks tool to give them the data results. The data results are, the scoring model is has been given to the supply chain or is available to them, and they actually, the supply chain sees how their product scores, number one. They also see how it scores relative, if they're a laundry detergent manufacturer, to all other laundry detergent manufacturers on average that Walmart buys from. So
okay, great.
If they're buying a component, you know, they could see like suppliers how they score. But it's, again, it would be your criteria.
So Walmart actually kind of sets the standards.
That's correct. Walmart set the standard. We configured it in the tool, and then we collect the data and apply the scoring model to that formulation.
Great, thanks.
Yep.
Wonderful. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to thank Kieran and Ned for a very informative presentation. I think we'll be hearing more on the chemical, the data question, and software information tools to bring together data and assess it. Certainly, it's one of the top areas of importance, for example, in the GC3 with the data project and some of the work we're doing with Seagate, HP, TI, and others. So I think you'll be in Staples. We'll be hearing more and more about these tools as we move forward. So with that, thank you again, Ned and Kieran. Our next call will be later on this year. December will be title and topic to be announced. If you have any areas that you'd like to hear a GC3 webinar on, please contact Sarah Shields at the Lowell Center. It's Sarah_Shields, SHIELDS, @uml.edu. And have a fabulous afternoon, everyone.